anyway for the breakfast. Didn't the women do an incredible job? Thank you guys so much. Everybody that put their time and effort into serving, you are making a difference in so many people's lives, and I can't thank you enough for what you've done. It was beautiful. The hot chocolate bar was awesome, and I'm going to take some of those chocolate spoons home with me later. So thank you, everyone who did anything to serve in this at this breakfast. I appreciate it so much. And here's Lauren.
Thank you, Miss Michelle. How many of you ladies are having fun so far? This is awesome, huh? This is so exciting. Like Miss Michelle said, thank you to everybody that put time and their heart into this event. It's phenomenal. And I love seeing all the 20-somethings and the teenagers here.
Oh, yes.
If that's you, say that's me. Woo! We are so glad you are here. We love this next generation. I look out and see all your amazing, beautiful faces, and we're just so glad you're here. No matter what age you are, we're glad that you're here with us today. Was the breakfast, wasn't it delicious? It was so good. I got a lot of sugar in my hot chocolate, put some those little mint chips on there, and oh, it's so good. So, you know, it's just so good for ladies to get together. We just need this time to disconnect from the world, from our kids, from our lives, and just kind of get plugged in and just hear what God has on Miss Michelle's heart. This is so important for us to be here. And for every generation, you know, the older generation, you guys have stuff to teach us. And the younger generation, these powerhouse girls, we have stuff that is burning inside of us that we want to share with you. And we count it as a true privilege and honor to be here with you guys. And we're just excited about Miss Michelle and Jerry and the whole Girlfriends Ministry. We're excited about bridging the gap between the generations, and we're excited about what all this year is gonna have in store. And we're really doing a lot with small groups this upcoming year, and we're really looking forward to our young adults and our teenagers getting plugged into those small groups. Man, you just need community. In life, things happen. As women, you face different things, whether it's going to work or whether it's your husband or your kids. There are different situations that happen that sometimes you just need women to surround you in prayer and love and just connecting you throughout the week, just send you a little scripture or, man, something. God can use your friends and people in your life, and we need that community, people of all ages. And so I know all these young people are getting plugged into small groups, but I encourage you, if you have a mom, if you're a mom, or if you're kind of hesitant, like, well, I don't know if I'm there yet to get plugged into a small group. I don't have everything together yet, or I have situations, I have problems, I can't open myself up. I want to encourage you that no one that is going to come to a small group is going to be perfect. And if they're saying they're perfect, they're lying to you. Everybody that comes to the small group is going to have different things that they're struggling with. And so don't think that you have to be perfect to join a small group. Come as you are. Be who you are. And we accept you and we love you and we want to help you through those different times. So I'm just really excited about what God is doing in this next generation of ladies, of young adults and teens. They are really rising up and they're grabbing a hold of all that God has for them and they are chasing after him. And it's just really exciting. So thank you for all that you do. I'm going to hand it over to Jerry, but I just wanted to share one little scripture with you real quick. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Man, no matter what you look like, no matter how you came today, you are created in the image of God. And we are so glad that you're here. And just to grab a hold of all that he has for you today. And so Jerry, can you guys give a hand to Jerry Palmer? She does so much here. And we love Jerry. She's so sweet. Here you go, Jerry.
Well, good morning. Sorry, Kisha, she's praying for me because I cry so easily. I can't stand it. It's been such a... Anyway, I think it's after having kids, what they do to us. So anyway, I'm just so excited that you are here. We had a treacherous morning to come in, and I was praying for you, and you're here. So it's just awesome that everybody was safe and that you just said, I'm doing it. I'm just going to do it. Maybe you had husbands that drove you in or boyfriends, or you just said, I don't care. This is fun. That's how I feel. I like getting behind the wheel and making it slide a little, but not all of us are like that. So I'm just glad to see you. I can almost see you. It's a little bright in here. How'd you do that, Lauren? Where'd she go? Okay. Okay. Let me start with my notes, a little bit of housekeeping. When you came in, I hope everybody received this paper. It has all the women small groups. Now, there is a booklet that the church has put together that have all of the small groups, but we made a personal one just for you that this has all the women's groups. So make sure you look through those. And today, Kathy Moore is going to tell us more about who's here and who you can meet for these small groups. And I hope you'll take time to do that before you take off. The next thing, inside this packet that you have, there is a registration that looks like this. Okay, this is very important for the small groups on top. If you see a small group you would like to register, you can do that today. Fill it in and you can give it to us at the registration. Is that right? Or the small group leaders that are here. I'll let Kathy explain that. She's better at it. So at the bottom, that's the next thing I'm going to talk about, is Girlfriends has a give back. It's an outreach program that we have started. And Michelle's heart is for Cranberry community and the areas surrounding. And our school district is what we're kind of focusing on right now. Last year, we did an awesome event. It was called Girlfriends Give Back. And it was a cookie blessing to the teachers and the faculty and staff at Seneca School District. So we started it, and it was a great idea, but we thought we would just get enough cookies to do the main campus, the senior high and the junior high. So the cookies came in, and the cookies came in, and then we had more cookies come in. We had hundreds of cookies. Kathleen Smith had the number, I think, but it was almost 2,000 cookies, I believe. There you are, 1,500 cookies. So what we did, we called back the school district, and we said, we have been so blessed with cookies, we want to bless all of the schools in the Seneca Valley School District. So we were able to do all the elementary schools and all the campus, middle school, junior high, senior high, whatever all it was. And then we also took to the superintendent's office, which gave us great favor. So anyway, it was a blessing. We had a lot of women come out. We trade cookies. We decorated them. We made them look absolutely beautiful. And then we had people who drove to the different schools and delivered them. And so we had a lot of need for a lot of volunteers to pull this off. So what I'm asking you for is to, if you haven't done it already, is to sign up on the Girlfriends Give Back. You can help with cookies. If you're not a baker, if you don't have time to bake, you might be a baker, but I know time is tough. Sometimes we just have to go to Giant Eagle. So that's what you can do. We had great cookies that were baked last year. We had Giant Eagle cookies. We had bakery cookies. So, or if your mother wants to bake cookies, that's totally fine. But anyway, if you would like to help trade the cookies, deliver cookies, it's all on here. You could bring that back to the information today also. And I just wanted to read to you, the superintendent actually sent Michelle an email about the cookies, and I wanted to read it to you. And so just pray for me right now, make sure I don't cry, because it's tough. Okay. Dear Michelle and the women of the Girlfriends Ministry, I just arrived home after a long day of work. I had intended to write to you all day, but as most days go in my line of work, the day got away from me. However, I did not want to go to sleep tonight without reaching out to you. You brighten not only my day, but also the day of so many of my employees. Upon taking a break from my hectic morning, I found your plate of cookies and your sincere thank you note to our staff. How kind, how loving, how Jesus-like. God bless each and every one of you. Many do not realize how tough it is to be in education right now, but your act of kindness reminds teachers that they are doing good work. Your thoughtfulness was talked about in all of our buildings and offices all day. Sometimes churches can be judgmental and hypocritical, but I can honestly say that your church preaches through acts more than words. Thank you. With warm regards, Dr. Vital, Seneca Valley Superintendent. So now you can see why I get wishy-washy. That was a blessing to receive that letter. You know, the cookies were awesome, but just to know that, you know, Jesus shines through our acts. Not only do, you know, we hear the word, but a lot of women in this church and a lot of people in this church actually do what Jesus asks us to do. Okay, so moving on to easier stuff. Okay, we have a lot of cake plates that have been made for this event. Now, there's some out there, and I know some women have brought in their cake plates for us to use. Don't be afraid. We are not giving them away. But These ones were made just for this event, and we have them all lined up out in the back after you leave. And if you would like to give a donation, you can do that and get yourself one of these fine cake plates. They were handmade and very beautiful. So we will use the monies to help girlfriends and outreaches and different events that we do. We're able to help a lot of women get to some of the events because of people who donate and give. So the cake plates are your gift for a donation to the ministry. You could make a checkout or pay cash. And there's going to be ladies at the back where the plates are who will receive your monies for that. So thank you in advance. And let me just double check, make sure I got all of my notes. Okay, now my next one. Here I go again. I have a scripture to read to you real quick, too, because this reminds me of the person that I'm about to introduce. Oh, my goodness. That's okay. Anybody like me, tell me you are, please. Okay. Good, because I'm really embarrassed right now. So Philemon 1:4 says, I always thank God as I remember you in my prayers. This goes also to the ladies that are here, but mostly to this person. Because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, sister, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. So I want to introduce to you Michelle, our speaker. She is such an inspiration to me, and I just am very thankful for her. I'm not going to say much more because I'm going to lose it. So she's awesome. She stands.
Thank you, Jerry. That's really
I'm sorry.
No,
I just am a
that's
mess.
Awesome. She has an awesome heart. Awesome heart.
But she just has a heart for the women, and I'm just so thankful to work beside her. She stands in the gap for you and in prayer. And just knowing what to do to build you up in this kingdom. So we just thank you so much for Michelle, and thank you for being here, ladies.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Love you. Thank you. Praise God. And is this yours here? Okay. All right. Oh, okay. I'm going to move it a little bit. Thank you, Jill. Okay. Thank you guys so much for coming out today and battling this weather. And you know, I'm just shocked that this many women would come. I was thinking that maybe a lot of women wouldn't come because they would be afraid to drive in this weather. But we have girl power. We can do anything. Amen. Thank you so much for coming out. And I'm so glad that the youth and 20-somethings are here because we believe in you and we believe in the next generation. And I just want to share from my heart. I am not a great speaker, so don't get disappointed. I'm just going to share from my heart as a senior pastor's wife of the church of what friendship is all about, and that God wants us to have real friendships, godly friendships. It matters. You know, I've seen people that connect with the right friends, and it makes all the difference in their life. It helps them make the journey to what God's called them to do. And I've seen people that have the wrong friends, and it's caused them to lose hope. It's caused them to go over the cliff. It's caused some people to lose their life. So it really does matter who you hang out with and who you connect to. You need positive influences of women in your life that are godly women. My desire is that I would be that person. And I ask God to change me all the time to be that kind of person that people see Jesus in. And I see Jesus in all of you, and I am so blessed to have all of you in this church. And I don't know a lot of you real well, but I just thank you for coming out. And I believe that God is doing some great things in the women here at Victory, and it's just the beginning. I have a heart and a vision for women that, you know, as we corporately join together, that we can do some incredible things for the kingdom of God. And I believe in the future there's going to be some great accomplishments that we're going to do in outreach. And small groups, seeing people, women discipled. My desire is to see women fulfill and be just a godly woman that God called us to be, and to be the godly wife, mother in our careers, wherever we are and whatever relationships we are, that we can be victorious. Because, you know, life is hard. But you know what? God is bigger than the circumstances of life. And I just want to share with you just a few quotes about friends, because I was trying to find this really incredible story about friendship to start with and connect with you. That's what my husband told me to do, but I looked all over the internet and I could not find anything. So I'm just going to give you some quotes. So this is one quote. It says, a friend is someone who knows the song in your heart and sings it back to you when you have forgotten it. And this is another one. Friendship is not about whom you have known the longest, but it's about who came into your life and never left your side. Amen. And my quote is, a true friend will tell you when you have food in your teeth. So that's my quote. You can say from Michelle. But I want to just talk about the benefits of friendship. You know, God created us to be relational as women. And there's so many studies when you look and see that women connect in a way with other women that men don't. And that we need that connection, that even biologically we are created to connect with other women. And that when we don't, studies have shown that women that don't have those kind of relationships, they are more susceptible to illness. Their longevity of life is shortened. So, you know, God intended it to be this way. You know, and I find it so neat how the Holy Spirit orchestrates everything. So, because while we're going through the purpose-driven life this week, it's all about relationships. We are a family when we are in the body of Christ. And we have sisters and we have brothers and we have our Father God. And Jesus is our brother and he is our priest. And there's all these different things that Jesus is in our lives. But he's one thing he is too, is our brother. But we are sisters in Christ. And, you know, growing up, I heard that word and it sounded so religious. And I don't like religion. But we are sisters in Christ and we are sisters keepers. And so God created us to have relationships. And if you're here today and you're struggling, you feel like you're isolated, I'm believing God that won't be the case much longer, that you're going to connect with some women here at Victory and your life's going to change. I want to read Mark 14:34, where Jesus said this, because Jesus needed friends. He was a son of God, but he needed other people in his life. He had the 12 disciples, and it says he had the three that he poured more of his life into. And then it says he had the one, John, the one whom he really, truly loved. And when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane, before he laid down his life and took on our sin, he was about to bear the sin of the world. I can't imagine that price and that cost of what he was agonizing with to lay down his will to do that. And during that time, in Mark 14:34, it says, he said, the sorrow in my heart is so great that it almost crushes me. But he also said, to stay here and watch and pray for me. Now, the disciples let him down. They didn't do what he asked, but he still asked. Knowing that they wouldn't do what he asked, he still asked. And I think that's a great example to show that Jesus needed people in his life, and we need people in our life and in relationships. And most importantly, we need godly friends. Proverbs 27:6 says, the wounds from a friend are better than the kisses from an enemy. I looked at one translation. It says, the wounds from the correction of a friend is better than the kisses from an enemy. So when we have the right people in our life, even though some things they say may be tough to hear, they'll help us be better as people. And I know the friends that I have in my life, they encourage me and they make me want to be a better person. But I want to share with you just, before that, I want to say that also when the benefits of friendship is that you are stronger as a person when you connect with other women who know God. The Bible says if you could put 1,000 to flight, then two people can put 10,000 to flight. We have an enemy. We have opposition that's always coming against us in life. But when you have other women that you can connect with, then you can put the enemy at bay. You can put him under your feet and have authority. And it's a greater authority when you're connected with someone else. The power of agreement is a powerful prayer. And so I just want to encourage you to know that don't lose hope if you're not there yet. But there are some things that I just want to share real quick about what are friendship destroyers. And the first one that I think is one of the biggest things that destroys friendships or causes you not to have friendships are wounds. And wounds are in all of our lives, you know, and most of us don't get through elementary school without facing some kind of a wound from a friend. You know, most of our greatest wounds come from our closest relationships in life. But, you know, God is bigger than our wounds, but wounds will cause you to isolate yourself. It'll cause you to be afraid of other women. I know so many women that say, I don't want to be friends with other women. I can only be friends with guys. And I think, oh, how sad that is that's all they've experienced is that mean girl, you know. And we all see the classic scenario of the mean girl, the clique where she's the controller and everybody has to, do what she says, or they don't get her approval, and if you don't do what she says, then you're out. Maybe you've experienced that. I have before and growing up. But you know what? There are no mean girls in the body of Christ, and there shouldn't be anyway. But in the church, it's just like in the world. No one is perfect, and people are growing, and there are we're not all arrived to where we should be. So some of the greatest wounds that you experience are from Christians, which is sad to say. But you know what? I just don't want you to lose hope. And don't isolate yourself because of that, because, you know, you can meet the right people. And I believe that God will direct you to do that. And I just want to share from my own life, you know, I'm going to be honest with you and I want to be authentic with you. I was afraid of women for a long time when I first got married and went into ministry. I got married, John, when I was 19 years old, almost 20. And I was just a baby. And we went on our honeymoon, we left to go to Africa. We were going to go there for 2 months and do a missions trip where we spoke in churches and all over South Africa. And we took the first 2 weeks for our honeymoon. But it was not a honeymoon. I'm here to tell you, I never left home. I was 19 years old. I was homesick so badly. I'd just gotten married, and I had been so nervous in getting married. And I was so insecure. I was a queen of insecurity. I because of the wounds that I'd had in my life of rejection and my father abandoning me, I never thought I was good enough, and I was so afraid to go into ministry because I thought everywhere I went that people would say, why do you marry her? She's just such a weight to you. And so the first church that we went to, I met a pastor's wife. We got off the plane. It was in Cape Town, South Africa. Got off the plane, and it was about a church of 1,000 people. So back in the 80s, 1988, that was a large church. And so I was already intimidated. And this lady was probably in her 40s, and we had all these suitcases. Now, believe it or not, they weren't mostly mine. They were John's. Because back then, you had to wear suits, you know, in meetings, or you were irreverent if you didn't wear a suit. So he had to have all these suitcases with just the suits in them. I had like two, but he had maybe four. And so we got off the plane, and we got met this woman, and she came to pick us up, and she looked at me, and she goes, how could you make your husband carry these suitcases all over Africa? You should be ashamed. When there's so many people here that don't have anything, you should give all of this to the gospel. Well, I'm just devastated. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then my husband didn't say a word, which made me kind of ticked. Like, his sisters are mainly his, not mine, you know. But you know what? But I was so devastated. We got to her house. She never would look at me. She would never talk to me. All she did was talk to John. We're sitting in the room waiting to, you know, for the meal. And she looks at John and she goes, is she going to eat with us? I'm like, I'm at your house. I'm sitting in your living room. What do you think? You know, she just was so cruel. And I know to this day, she, you know, that lady, she must have been very hurting, because hurting people hurt people. And love people love people. And so I know that she was just used as an enemy, as a tool to try to get me to give up. And that night I went to bed and I cried almost all night long. And I was like, oh, I can't do this, John. I'm just not enough, you know. But you know what? You know, God helped me through that, but it created a huge wound, and it made me afraid to meet other women. Well, John traveled for 8 years, and I traveled for 5 years with him all over the country, and we spoke in different churches, and we lived in people's homes mostly because we went to small churches. And so we were never home but maybe 2 weeks out of the whole year. So we were on the road all the time, and we were constantly going in and out of churches. I felt so insecure. And I met a lot of pastors' wives, and it's sad to say, but a lot of them were miserable, and they were hurting. And you know what? I don't ever want someone to look at my life and say, I don't want what she has. And that's what I did, and I got very disillusioned with ministry. But you know what? I met some great women during that time, too, women that helped me, that encouraged me and talked me through some things and helped me. But when we started the church, I was 25 years old here, and I was afraid of women. I was afraid of Christian women, and I saw so many women that I respected and that I looked up to, and I thought, oh, if they ever saw me in my life, they would think I was just worthless. I mean, half the time I couldn't get out of my bathrobe in the morning because I had two kids in 23 months, and one was autistic at the time, our son Ryan, and I was just so overwhelmed with life, and I was afraid of women. But, you know, and so I never got involved a lot with women's ministry. I didn't want to do that, but eventually, God dealt with me. I went to a conference for pastors' wives in Florida, and I heard one woman speak, Melody Stocks, still, and she changed my life because she addressed and she exposed her weakness of how she was afraid of women. And I looked at her, and she has reached thousands and thousands of women through her church because she has a mentorship program. And I thought, how could she actually be afraid of women like me? But you know, we usually connect with people from weakness. We respect people's strengths, but we usually connect with a person through weakness. And so I never want to be unauthentic. I don't want you to think that I don't ever struggle in life, or because we're in ministry, we have it all together, because we don't. But this lady changed my life because she told me, you don't have to be afraid. And if you'll step out and do what God calls you to do, He'll bring those people into your life that you're longing for. And so God really dealt with me at that time. You need to get involved in women's ministry. And it took me a little while to obey God, but I did. And God has brought me great friends into my life. And I have some wonderful friends, but it's not the quantity of friends that we have, it's the quality. And if you have really two great best friends in your life, then you're a blessed person. But, you know, I just want to encourage you. You can come to church and you can put a mask on and you can pretend like everything's okay and everything's perfect. Because I think the greatest fear, number one fear every woman has, is that we're not enough. You know, that we're not enough as a mother, as a wife, in our jobs, in our careers, with our children. We're always battling that we're not enough. And we can come in. I've come in with that smile, but you know what? I was dying inside. And I know there's other people here that have had that happen. But I want you to know you're not alone when you're in the body of Christ. And there are women here that will want to help you and pray with you and support you and to help you face those battles. And so I want to encourage you, because you young girls, I believe in you. And I believe that God has a purpose for your life. And I believe in the next generation. And I believe you will go places that I would never go. And that you're going to do great things. You're called of God. Some of you are called just to be where you're in your relationships, where you are. But you know what? Wherever you go and whatever you do, know that God has greatness in you and that He has something special for you to do for the kingdom of God. You know, there's so many talented young people in this church, and I just give them so much credit, and I just believe that you're going to do things that I could never imagine. And I just want to encourage you to just let the wounds go. Give them to God. Let God heal them. And step out, even when you're afraid, to make connections with other women. Do it afraid, like Joyce Meyer said. In Timothy 2:3-6, it says, teach the older women to live in a way that is appropriate for someone serving the Lord. They must not go around speaking evil of others. Instead, they should teach others what is good. Those older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and to be pure, to take care of their homes, to do good and be submissive to their husbands. They will not bring shame on the word of God. And I believe we will not bring shame on the word of God as older women in this church. I can't believe I'm saying I'm an older woman now. I still think I'm 18 years old in my mind. But you know what? I believe that we have to be authentic as older women. And when younger girls come to us, we need to talk about the weaknesses that we have had and how God gave us the strength to overcome and the victories that we've overcome and how we did it. That's what we're there to do, is to model and train and teach them that no matter what they're facing, we've faced it too, and that they can overcome, because this culture is crazy. And it is robbing girls of what God's called them to do. It's trying to take the femininity out of a girl's heart to say that you have to be like a man to be valuable. But you know what? God created a man and woman, and in a woman's heart is femininity. And it is something to be celebrated. We are called to nurture, and we're called to nurture each other. And I just exhort you to have a heart to nurture the young girls around you. And the second thing I want to talk about that is a friendship destroyer is gossip. Now, I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody, because the saying goes, when you point one at someone, three are pointing back at you. So I've missed it. I've done things I shouldn't have done, and I regret saying things that I've said. But I pray that my heart is that I never have a habit of gossip. And I heard Rick Warren say, I think it was in his the book the week this week, that gossip is when you have information that you're not responsible for, either good or bad, and you spread it. And so the scripture says that Proverbs 20:19 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a woman who talks too much. Proverbs 26:20 says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. And Proverbs 26:22 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go deep down into the innermost parts of your belly. And so, you know, gossip wounds deep inside people. And maybe you've had that experience where you've shared a confidence with a friend and you found out that they told it to other people. Or maybe you have been that person. You know what? God can help us overcome anything that we have a weakness in. And so I just encourage you to be that person that is a safe person that women can come to and share their hurts and their wounds, and that you can be a life support to them and uplift them and not be someone that has to tell. You know, it makes us feel good in the flesh when we have information that other people don't know, but it is not something that we should do, and it destroys people. And so it breaks down relationships. So, you know, all of us, we need to be conscious of our mouth, what we say. And, you know, because this mouth gets us in a lot of trouble sometimes. But, you know, God's bigger, and He loves us, and we can go forth from this point on and ask God to help us. And when you feel that condemnation, if you've said something or done something that you shouldn't have said or done, then you just go and apologize to the person. Be the bigger, be a big enough person to know that it's okay to say you're sorry. It won't kill you. It won't hurt you in a relationship. Actually, it will give you more relationships, and you'll be more blessed in relationships. And then the third friendship destroyer that I think is a big one is the three C's, I call them. Criticism, cynicism, and comparing. And we all do it as women because, like I said, the greatest fear in most women is, or the biggest lie that we believe is that we're not enough. And so when we criticize others and we find that we're doing it all the time, it's just a warning sign inside of us that we don't know who we are as in Christ Jesus, that we are not walking in who God says we are, because we don't live our lives on who we are, but who we believe we are. And so God wants us to get our belief system in our heart of who He says we are in Him. And that takes time and it takes effort. And so I'd encourage you to get into the Word of God and find out who you are in Christ, because He said that He loves you, that His love is unconditional, that you are His daughter. He says in the Word of God that you are beautiful to Him, that you are valuable, that you are uniquely made. And when you compare to another person, it's really a form of jealousy, because God dealt with me one time because I was a queen of comparing. I would go into a room and I was always self-condemning. I had the shame-based identity that everything I did was bad and I was not good. And so I would always think, oh, they're better than me. They have all these talents I don't have. They're prettier than me. They raise their kids better than I do, you know. And the Lord dealt with me one day and He said, you know what? You're jealous. And I was like, God, I'm not jealous. He's like, yeah, you're jealous, and jealousy is a sin, and you need to repent of it. And repent means to turn and go the other direction away from that. But you know what I found is the only way I got free of that was that I found out that Christ was my Father and that I am His special girl. And all of us are Daddy's favorite, all of us. He loves us uniquely. And God doesn't bestow to everybody the same things. He knows exactly what we need for our life, for our family. If we were all the same, it would be a boring world, wouldn't it? But you know what? He created us all uniquely and all different, with different gifts, with different talents. He knows who you are, and He can give you what you need. He said, my God supplies all our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. So when you compare, you're basically saying that God isn't going to give me what I need. They have more than they get what they need, but I don't get what I need. So it's really a trap of the enemy, and it causes us to not be able to open up with other women and really be real and authentic and help each other and support each other. So, you know, in criticism and being critical, it's a form really of fear. It's a fear that really you don't feel like you're good, and so you have to put other people down to make yourself feel better about yourself. But we are to realize that God has created us, and He uniquely formed us and made us. And that's what I want you young girls to find out in your lives now. And don't wait till you're in your 30s like I did, or 40s, to really in the 30s is when I began to really understand that, to know that you are perfect just the way you are. And this culture will tell you in all the magazines and everywhere you look that you have to look a certain way to be valuable. You have to do certain things to be valuable. It's not what you do, but it's who you are. And it's about not doing, but it's about being that person that is in Christ. And you know, when you find out who you are in Christ, it creates such a great, I would say, rest in you, a rest in your spirit that you can't have any other way. All that striving and contending and controlling and trying to manipulate and trying to just trying to prove yourself, that goes all out the door, and you find rest and you find peace because you know it's not about what you do. It's about who you are in Christ. And can we encourage each other as women to strengthen each other in that way? That's my prayer that we would. And, you know, the next thing I just want to talk about real quick, and then we're going to end because I know we're behind schedule here. It's just, what are the qualities of a godly friend? And God wants you to have godly friends. And if you find yourself in these with a person that does these things and this, like this friendship destroyer type mentality, you need to get out of that relationship. You know, you need to set boundaries in your life where you are around people that will uplift you, because it matters. All three Proverbs, it talks about your friendships and who you hang around. It's either the fool, the evil one, or the wise one. And there are three types of people. There's foolish people, there's wise people, and there are evil people. If you're in an evil person's relationship with evil people, you need to get out. You know, it's not going to be comfortable, but you can love them from a distance. You can just say, you know what, you can gradually pull away, or you may just need to immediately pull away and say, for the benefit of my life, I can't hang around you anymore. That's a harsh thing to do, but sometimes you have to do that. But usually we can gradually just pull away and be kind and loving from a distance, but not open ourselves up over and over again to wounds that people put on us that God didn't intend for us to carry, because that's not what true friendship is. But the qualities of a true friendship is that we love unconditionally, like Christ loves unconditionally. Like I said, loved people love people. And we can love because He first loved us. He sought after us. He put us in His family. We are in His family because He wanted a relationship with us. And He loves us unconditionally. So no matter what we do, He still loves us the same. That's amazing to me. And it doesn't mean that we don't want to please Him, because He also says that we should lay our lives down as a living sacrifice to Him. And what does that really mean? Because in the Old Testament, they would present dead sacrifices to God. And in the New Testament, it says we should present our bodies as living sacrifices to Him. So what does that really mean? It means that when you're alive, your will, your emotions, your mind is involved. You have to willingly lay down your body, your flesh, your feelings, your hormones, and what you feel to the Word of God. And be honest and open and ask God to show you if you have wrong motives in your heart. He constantly checks us. No one's perfect, and that's what I want to encourage you. There are no perfect people in the body of Christ. There's just a perfect God that we serve. And so, you know, loving your friends unconditionally is so important. You know, to show them that, you know, even when they can have some bad days, we can still show them love. And also that we should be loyal. Proverbs 17:17 says, a true friend is always loyal, and a sister is born to help in the time of need. And I find it interesting that it says a brother, but I put sister in there. And a sister is born to help. Born to help. You are born into the kingdom of God to help someone in a time of need. And that requires sacrifice. Because it's never convenient to help somebody when they need you, but people need you when they need you. And it's supporting and being there for your friends when they're going through the hard times. You know, it says weep with those that weep and laugh with those that laugh. But there's a time where you need to weep with your friends and just be compassionate and listen to them and cry with them. Then there's times where God will give you words to encourage them. And then there are times where you have to say the truth sometimes, and that's not easy, but that's what a true friend does. But I just want to encourage you that loyalty also means that we stick by a friend when they are in trouble, and we don't turn our backs on someone when it becomes difficult. And that is a popular thing to do in this culture, is when You know, it's a popular thing when people have things that happen in their life, and if you're hanging around, if you support them, then it's going to hurt you with other friends. But you need to make that decision that, you know what, you don't turn your back on a hurting person. And when somebody's has failed, you know, it says, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness and humbleness, at least you fall into the same trap. So being spiritual is really being a person that can restore someone when they're down and they've fallen and help pick them back up. You know, a great example of that is I don't know if a lot of you that are older will remember when Jim Baker fell in the 80s, and it was a big scandal in the body of Christ. He was a television evangelist, and he got into a lot of corruption and living in ways that were unspeakable. But he was exposed, and he was exposed all over national television. It really did so much harm to the body of Christ, and he got sent to prison. And I heard his testimony after he got out of prison. He shared it. It was really powerful, because God restores people, and he has restored him. But he said that the only two people, he was at the point in prison where he was contemplating killing himself. And he goes, he was the most hated man in America, you know, and he and what he had done to people in the body of Christ was horrendous. But he said he was almost at that point, and only two people came to see him. But that day that he was about to commit suicide, Billy Graham came to show. He showed up at the prison where he was to visit him, and he reached out to him. And he helped restore him. And Tommy Barnett was the second person, the only two people that visited him in jail. And they have huge, you know, everyone knows Billy Graham. He has an impeccable reputation. He had everything to lose to go to Jim Baker and help restore him. But he did it because he was a spiritual person. Tommy Barnett has a ministry in Arizona. He and his son started the Dream Center, which is in California, where they have a phenomenal ministry. They minister 24 hours a day. They bought a hospital where they're reaching people that are prostitutes, drug addicts, homeless people, anything you can imagine, any kind of hurting person you can imagine. 24 hours a day, they're doing ministry there. But he went and he reached out to him, and he helped his son, because his son was really, really struggling and hurting, and he reached out and helped him and brought him to his church and helped him through that time. But in the end, after he got out of prison, he said that Billy Graham actually invited him to his house. And he said, I was like, you don't want me to go to your house. You don't want people to see me going and being anywhere near you. I do not want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt your reputation. He's like, no. If God says that you're lovable, then I'm stand with you as my brother in Christ. And so he went to his house, and his wife cooked dinner for them. And he actually gave him a wallet, he said, that he still keeps. But anyway, what a remarkable thing. That makes me want to be a better person when I hear things like that. I want to be that kind of person that people feel safe with, and that I will stand by people even when they fail and make mistakes. And the last or the next quality that a true friend has is that they speak the truth in love. The Bible says to speak the truth in love. Proverbs 24:26 says, an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. And sometimes in friendship, we have to be honest. We have to say things that are uncomfortable, but it's for the betterment of that other person. And so, you know, if you're in a relationship with someone and you see them doing a lot of harm to themselves or someone else, you need to step up and just in an encouraging way, just, you know, be honest and help them and tell them, look, I see this, and I'm not coming to you. I have problems myself, but I want to see you be all that God has called you to be. And it also requires confrontation if you have conflict. You need to deal with it. It says if someone offends you in the Word of God, it says when someone offends you, you should go to that person. You shouldn't go to 20 other people and tell them. You should go to the person that has offended you, and you should deal with it with them one-on-one and not tell other people about it. And, you know, the Bible has answers for every type of problems we face in relationships. So I just encourage you to dig into the Word of God and find out how to be that loyal friend. And the last thing that a true friend is they're a great cheerleader. You know, we're here to edify, lift up, and be that support to our friends. And we want to cheer on our friends. And we should have the mentality that which I say is a win-win mentality, that when someone else wins in life, we win also. We're in a family. We're in the body of Christ. When someone else prospers, we are blessed. When someone else has a great marriage, we are blessed. When someone else has victories in with their kids and what they're struggling with, then we win. So that we don't, that breaks down that comparison. We can find ourselves feeling, this person, God answered their prayer. Why didn't he answer mine? You know, God doesn't play favorites. He has enough. His power is great enough for all of us to supply our needs and what we need in life. And so have that win-win mentality where you encourage and lift up and help your friend in the journey that God's called them to do. And I pray that is what victory stands for. You know, as in a sense, a pastor and his wife are kind of like a mother and father in a church. And we set the atmosphere with what goes on here. And my heart's desire, the greatest desire of my heart is that when you come into this place that you feel safe and you feel like I am safe here and I am loved here, because you may have never experienced that growing up in a family. You may have been abused. You may have been criticized. You may have never felt safe. But in the family of God, you need to feel safety. And you need to feel that you can bring your real true self in, open up, be authentic, and that God will heal the wounds that are inside of you. He'll help you. He'll bring you to places you could never imagine. If somebody told me years ago I was standing up here speaking to women, I would say, you are crazy. I was the kind of person that was so shy and intimidated. When I went to college, I actually would go in the class early to sharpen my pencil before everybody got there so nobody would see me, and I would sit in the very back row so nobody could see in front of me because I thought they were staring at me. That's pretty pathetic. It's not about us. It's about others. We got to get ourselves out of the way so that we can love others. But the only way we can do that is through knowing who we are in our identity in Christ Jesus. And that's why we're having these small groups. And that's why we can grow as women. I would encourage you so strongly to get connected in a small group. If you're struggling in an area, find that area you're struggling in, take the step afraid, and go into that small group. And I guarantee you there'll be women there that you'll connect with, that you'll find out that you're not the only one that faces that challenge, because the enemy likes to isolate, and he also likes to tell us that we're the only one that struggles in areas. But everybody, human beings and human nature is pretty much the same, and there are always people that are going to carry the same struggles that you carry. So in that small group, you can connect with women and you can find out how they in their lives have found victory. And if they're struggling, or if you're struggling, you can have people that pray for you and support you and will love you. And so my prayer is, and let's pray together right now, and then I'm going to turn it over to Kathy Moore, and she's going to explain about small groups real quick to you. But first, I just want to, if everybody will bow their heads, the first thing I want to do is just ask you, if you've never been... have you never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You may be new here to Victory, and you haven't done that yet. I want to give you this moment in time that you can pray a prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. If you raise your hand, then I'll ask you to pray this prayer, and everyone will pray together. So you will not be the spotlight will not be on you. But I want to encourage you that if you never prayed to ask Jesus into your heart to receive him as your Lord and Savior, this is the day. He is our best friend. He says he is our friend. He is one true friend that will never leave you, never forsake you, he said. If you don't have the guarantee that if you died today and you would make it to heaven, there is a heaven to gain, there is a hell to lose. And God wants you in part of his family. He wants you in that love, in the body of Christ. So if you have never prayed that prayer to ask Jesus into your heart, would you raise your hand right now if you never prayed that prayer? And I'll give you that chance to do that right now. If you never prayed that prayer. Well, amen. I take it that everybody's saved here then. But I'm just going to pray for you right now, and then I'm going to turn it over to Kathy Moore. Father, I just thank you for every woman here today. I thank you, Father, for the purpose that you created them for. I thank you they find that purpose. I proclaim that over their life, that they live to the fullness of what you called them to on the earth, that they see that their life makes a difference in other people's lives, that they are wanted, that they are loved, that they are accepted in you, and they are accepted in the body of Christ, and that there are people that are longing to be their friend, Father. I thank you that if any woman is coming here and they're burdened and they're feeling depressed and feeling like they can't make it, Lord, that as they leave here, that they'll be uplifted, that spirit of depression and oppression will go off their lives in Jesus' name, and that they'll be blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Here's Kathy. Kathy is our hub pastor over women's small groups, and so she's going to explain to you about what they're about, and then there are women here that will connect with you that are leading them. Thanks, Kathy. I appreciate you.
Well, I just want to say this is awesome to see all these brave women. As I was driving in this morning, I know we've all said we were praying for you, but I'm thinking, God, really, are they going to come? And look at you. You did it. You are real women to come in the snow. That's what I think. Michelle, thank you. That was just incredible. And I had a scripture. I'll just read part of it because I know that, you know, we're running behind. But what I wanted to share just briefly before I give you the nuts and bolts of the small groups and our awesome leaders here is I have a scripture out of Ephesians 2. It's verses 18 and 19, and it says this: "For it is through him that we both, whether far off or near, now have an introduction by the Holy Spirit to the Father, so that we may approach him. Therefore, you are no longer outsiders, excluded from the rights of citizens, but you now share citizenship with the saints, God's people, and you belong to God's own household." And Michelle talked about it briefly, how the enemy likes to isolate us. I want to tell you, you're not an outsider today. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you have felt like an outsider. My entire high school career, I felt like an outsider. I was also, this is funny, but I was also very timid and shy, and I was afraid to speak. And I think it's hilarious that God makes me get in front of people now with a microphone and talk, because I wouldn't have done this 20-some years ago either. You are not an outsider, but you belong, and you belong to the household of God. And so I want you to go, if nothing else, with that in your head, is that, you know what, I belong. I belong to God's family. And whether or not you choose to attend church here, that doesn't matter. We just want you to get hooked up in a small group. You can do that. We do a lot of things here at Victory. We do weekend services. We'd love to have you come out if you don't have a home church to our weekend services. We do Growth Track every Sunday night. Pastor John asked me to share briefly about Growth Track on Sunday nights. We do those every Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. First Sunday of the month is Church 101 about membership. The second Sunday of the month is Essentials 201, taught by Pastor John Spencer. The third Sunday is Discovery 301, where I get to tell you just how awesome you are and how uniquely created you are by God to be his masterpiece. And then Alyssa Preston helps me with that, and we have a really good time at Discovery 301. And then Dream Team 401 is the fourth Sunday of the night, where we would invite you to join our Dream Team, which is our awesome volunteer group of people. They greet you, they make your coffee, and they were here this week making this place gorgeous for you to walk into. Yes, thank you. I told Dana, I don't know where Dana is, but Dana kind of oversaw the decorations with some of the other people. I said, this is not my gift, but I can sure appreciate it when I walk in. Anybody else feel that way? It would not look this good if I were in charge of decorations. She does a great job. And then finally, I want to talk to you about small groups. They are launching here in February, so we have some incredible small group leaders. These women have gone to training, they've picked curriculum, or they've picked activities that are in their heart so that they can just gather women together, make connections. In small groups, we say that we have three purposes. We want women to connect in small groups. We want you to be cared for in a small group. When you're in a group of 10 to 12 women and you know each other's names, then when you're going through something, there's somebody there that can care for you. And finally, you're protected in small groups. So those are the purposes of our small groups: to connect, to care, and to protect. And so we have them meeting all over the place, doing all kinds of wonderful activities. And I'm really excited about this semester. We have some incredible women that have stepped up to lead groups. So let me just give you some instruction. We've broken them into three categories. So when you turn around to leave this place, to my left and to your right, in the center, that section over there, we have the health, beauty, activity group. So if you're interested in the nails, yeah, and the nutrition and the scripture tea party, those groups, those women are meeting over here, and they would love to talk to you and connect to you about that. In the center section, we have all the Bible study groups. So the women who are leading the Bible study groups that are in your pamphlet, they're also here, and they would love to talk to you. If you have any questions about what they'll be studying, feel free to connect with all of them. And then over here, we got the Youth Thrive Youngins. Woo! That's right. Awesome. And we have some groups just for our Thrive girls, and we're real excited about those as well. So I want to make sure that, I just want to reiterate, if you don't have the pamphlet, we have some lovely ladies that have these in their hand, can get these in your hands as well. Jerry showed you how to sign up. It's real easy. We made it easy. We like easy. Just, you can sign up on the last page of your pamphlet, and you can hand this to any small group leader or any of the ladies who are helping today, or, you know, as you leave, feel free to sign up that way. If you're interested in other groups, these aren't all the groups. We have lots of other groups. We have Faith Life training groups. We have all kinds of groups going on that aren't specifically just for women, but of course, they might appeal to some of you. Those are all listed on our website at lifeatvictory.com. So feel free to check out the website. You can sign up online. You can call the office. We'll take care of you. And I think that is it. Michelle, okay, if you'd like
you,
to
Kathy.
Pray and dismiss.
Kathy's doing an awesome job. And all the small group leaders, I just thank you all for what you're doing, making a difference. And I just want to conclude now by praying. But I want to encourage you, if you're a prayer partner, if you'll come up right now, there are women that are prayed up and have been praying for you. And if you're struggling in any area, we never want you to leave without connecting to someone that can pray and agree with you. I don't care what you're facing. Maybe you're struggling in your marriage. Maybe you're struggling with your kids or your body. If you need health in your body, there's women here that want to pray with you, stand with you. And God is incredible, and the things that he does in people's lives, it's just so amazing. And he has the answers that we need to walk in victory in every area of our life, no matter what we're facing. And I don't want you to leave here discouraged in any way. Maybe you're that person that was always the person that felt like they're on the outside looking in relationships. If you need, I want you to come up and be prayed for, that those lies that the enemy have told you that says you're not worth it or that you're not important, that you're invisible, that those lies will be broken over your life. And so if you need a prayer, I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to ask you to come forward, and you will still be able to connect with the small group leaders after you're done with your people praying for you. So you'll still get a chance to do that. And the rest of you can dismiss and go and meet the women that are leading these groups, and you can have a person that you make contact with and find out more information if you haven't signed up for a group. So thank you guys so much for coming out. I just appreciate it so much. And let's just pray together. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you, Father God, that every woman here, that they recognize how much you love them and that they are valued and they are in a family, the family of God, Lord. And that as they experience things in their life that are hurt, that have hurt them, that have caused wounds in them, Lord, that you're big enough to heal those wounds, that you're big enough to give them the strength and the grace to face life and to live in victory in areas that they think they can never overcome, Lord. That as they leave today, they're encouraged, that they're uplifted to know that they are winners in life. Father, I just bless every woman and pray for protection over them as they drive home. Bless them for coming out to this event. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you need prayer, don't be embarrassed. Come up and be prayed for. I come up all, if I need prayer, I'm not embarrassed. I come up and get prayed for, or wherever I'm at and I'm at a meeting. Don't let pride hold you back. So I'd encourage you to come up. Thank you, guys. And we'll dismiss now and you can go back to where you would want to meet a leader. But thank you. Hey, Mom.